I'm Rick Hatchke, and this is The Catered Quiz. Today's contestant, from Brooklyn, New York, one half of the Found Footage Festival and the creator of the game Dream Crush, Nick Brewer. Now, here is The Catered Quiz. All right, we are here with another episode of The Catered Quiz, and on today's show, I am joined by Nick Brewer from the Found Footage Festival. Nick, thank you so much for being on The Catered Quiz.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I'm excited.
Now, Nick, speaking of the Found Footage Festival, your 20-year anniversary is coming up.
Isn't that depressing? Two decades of our goofy found video show. Well, we're going to release a box set of Blu-rays and DVDs of all 10 volumes of our show. So our life's work will be available in a nice keepsake Blu-ray DVD box with in the shape of a VCR. So that's one thing we're working on. The other thing we're working on is we're doing a big 20th anniversary show with some guests, and we're trying to get Bobcat Goldthwait to come out, and David Cross, Emmy Blotnick, one of our favorite comedians here in New York, is going to be part of it. Going to have some celebrity comedian pals come on and talk about their favorite videos, maybe some surprise guests from some of the videos in our collection that we've tracked down, things like that. So we're going to do some kind of celebration.
Do you have a video that stands out currently as your favorite from the 20 years of doing the show?
Oh, man. You know, the one I keep coming back to is it's a series of safety videos called It Only Takes a Second. They're put out by Federated Mutual Insurance, and they were trying to scare you into being safe with accident reenactments. And each one is more over the top violent, but more hilarious than the one that came before it. And it just ramps up into a literally explosive ending. And it's just a crowd pleaser. Like, we still will bring that tape out at college shows and things and open our show with it. And it just leaves people breathless. It's just, I mean, slapstick kills, you know, still to this day.
So. Like a gory Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yep. It's just like if Buster Keaton got his hand caught in a table saw. You know, it's just like that.
Now, Nick, I don't have a home game version of the Catered Quiz yet, but like me, you have created your own game and it is available for purchase. Dream Crush, what was it like developing and creating a party game?
I'm a huge board game fan, and my family grew up playing party games, so it was always kind of a dream. And I would always tinker around and do homebrew versions of like party games. And at thrift stores where we find a lot of our VHS tapes, I kept finding, I'd call them slumber party games for girls in the 80s and 90s, like Dream Phone and Heartthrob and Mall Madness and games like that. And they were a lot of fun, and it also felt like kind of forbidden fruit, because those are the games that my sister would play, you know, when she would have slumber parties, and I didn't have anything like that. So I always felt like, what are these games like? So with my game group, I started bringing these out, and I was like, oh, you know, there's the germ of a good idea in some of these. And so it was really fun to just sort of play test with my normally serious gaming group and with people who don't play games at all, this game about basically like finding out all the little irritating things that bother you about people in a relationship. And I really got to hone in on that by developing this game where you have three potential crushes you could end up with, and you find a little bit more about them in each round of the game and have to pick who you would choose in a certain scenario. But the key is trying to pick who the other players would pick. I found out if you play it with strangers too, by like round three, you're like, what? You picked the jock? And they're like, well, you know, he had a bumper sticker that revealed the fact that he was racist. So, you know, so you're finding out little things that could be deal breakers for people. And that tells you a lot more about, like, I've learned so much about my friends. What they're looking for and not looking for in other people through this game.
Yeah, you mentioned the jock. The game features a set of cards, photos of hunks. How many total hunks are there that you took photos of?
I almost 100, I think. There's hunks and there's babes in the game too, and it's just sort of you can play mix and match which genders you want, and you know there's any spectrum of genders in there to choose from or just randomize it. And so yeah, we just had a photo shoot. It was like right before the pandemic hit in Austin, Texas, and people just came up for free. We put them in like in a said take your shirt off or put a surfboard in your hand and took these photos that give you a little information you can judge your choice based on. So yeah, it was fun to be a hunk photographer for a weekend in Texas.
Yeah, and there's some great Easter eggs in there too, so I highly recommend getting Dream Crush.
It came out right at the height of the pandemic where a party game perhaps was not the best sell for people. So I'm making a push that I think people now are ready once they're vaxxed to get together and play this goofy slumber party game for adults.
You know, even beyond the pandemic, maybe the world just wasn't ready for it in 2020, but now we've evolved to the point where it is appropriate for our time.
I hope so.
Well, Nick, you are here for the catered quiz. Here is how this game is going to work. You have provided me two topics. We will talk about those in just a moment, and I have created a catered quiz around those topics. So there's going to be two rounds where there are six questions. The first question is worth 10 points. Then there is a bonus 10-point question in conjunction with that. Second question is worth 20 points. Third question is a this or that, and that's worth 30 points. The fourth question is worth up to 40 points because there are two answers. Each one is worth 20 points. Then the fifth question is worth 50 points. So
Wow.
after those two rounds, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and there are two final questions. The first is the doubler. So this is a risk-free chance to double your score. So if you have 100 points, you get the doubler right, you have 200 points. If you get it wrong, you still have 100 points. Then whatever topic you don't choose for the doubler, you will use for the final question, which is called the required risk, where you must risk at least 1 point. There is no wagering zero on the catered quiz.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I like the decision making that comes at the end.
Each point today is worth a penny, so you are playing for a potentially lunch-changing amount of money. And beyond today, you're also playing to hopefully earn entry into the tournament of high scores, because at the end of the year, the top three scores from this season will compete to be named the Catered Quiz Champion of 2024. Does that all make sense to you?
Yep, I'm hoping to come out on top.
The topics you provided are two of my favorite comedies. We have a lot of overlap in terms of our comedic taste. The films Pee-wee's Big Adventure and UHF. Which topic would you like to do first?
Let's start with UHF.
UHF, the hilarious Weird Al film. Did you see this in theaters when it came out in the 80s?
Yes, I saw it 5 times in the theater. And keep in mind, this was only in the theater for about a week, maybe two, where I was from. And I was obsessed with this movie to the point where when it came out on VHS, January 16th, 1990, it was only available for rental store. So it was priced, you know, it was before like it didn't have the Batman thing where it was priced for sale at 1999 when it. You know, it was like you had to pay a video store price for it. So I saved up my allowance. It was like $129, I think. And I put down a deposit at my local video store, Video Country, and went there as soon as they opened that day and picked it up and just cherished this VHS tape. I still have it. It's well worn, but it delivered everything I wanted in a comedy at that time.
All right, Nick, you ready to dive into the UHF quiz?
Let's do it.
All right, question number one for 10 points. What is the number of the channel of the titular UHF station?
That would be 62, U62.
That is correct. So you are on the board with 10 points. Now the bonus question. When George first arrives at the station and meets Philo, a rerun of what show is being aired?
It's a good question. It's not Beverly Hillbillies because that's when he's falling asleep at the station later. I'll say the Honeymooners. I don't know.
It's Mr. Ed.
Oh, of
You
course.
hear the opening theme song. I don't know if you necessarily see it, but you hear that that
Yeah.
is what is playing on U62 in the moment.
That's a great trivia question.
Thank you. That's what the catered quiz is all about. So you are at 10 points. Let's move on to question number two for 20 points. I know you have the soundtrack CD, so that will come into play for this question. What is the name of the instrumental song played as Stanley drives around in the You Want a Drink from the Fire Hose scene?
That would be Fun Zone.
That is correct. Fun Zone for
Yes.
20 points.
I used that in college. I got paid to make a commercial for the local video store there, and I used Fun Zone as the theme music. This is like a great instrumental song. So to show all the categories they had, it kind of went with, hey, all the categories came up during that part. So yeah, Fun Zone has come in handy for me.
It really is a great instrumental. Like, it gets you hyped.
Yeah, I remember too, like I played football for 2 years in high school. It was terrible. And before a game, one of my friends, Kevin, was playing, I think it was the song Right Now by Van Halen, and which I hated that song. And I was like, can we not play this song before the game? He goes, what would you rather listen to? Weird Al? And I was like, yes, actually, I would. I lost to the locker room on that, but Fun Zone would have been a good one. We could have beat our rivals, but we didn't.
You gotta slide it in on a mixtape and don't let anybody know that it's
I
Weird Al because
know.
then there would be no judgment.
Yeah. Well, if I could go back in time, Rick, that's what I would do.
You get a time machine, go back to your high school football days, not necessarily to win the big game, but just to alter the playlist before the game.
Take me back to that locker room right before the game against the Oregon Panthers, please.
All right, Nick, you are at 30 points. And we have arrived at question number three, which is worth 30 points. So it's a this or that. You got a 50-50 shot here. In the Rambo parody sequence, what is blown up first by the helicopter? The Eiffel Tower or the Hollywood sign?
I think it's the Hollywood sign.
No, it's the Eiffel Tower first, then it's the Colosseum, and then it's the Hollywood sign. So Eiffel
Got it.
Tower is first in that sequence.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I loved that, and people used to make fun of the suit. I still think it's a very convincing muscle suit on
It
him.
was funny, like when he moved around in it too, you can kind of see that it didn't exactly move the way normal muscles do, but that's what made it funnier.
All right, you are still at 30 points as we move on to question number four. There are two answers here. Each one is worth 20 points for up to 40 points. During a break in the telethon, George gives Stanley some water and asks if there is anything he can get him. What are the two things that Stanley asks for?
Ah, God, back of my brain. He's not thinking of something orange at this point. Bubbles.
Yes, Bubbles is
Okay.
the. So he initially says a different thing, and then he's like, no,
Yeah.
wait, Bubbles, big Bubbles.
Yes.
So you got 20 points with Bubbles.
Oh, wow. Good. I'm impressed that that came back to me. Okay. Bubbles. Balloons.
Close, it was Play-Doh.
Ah, God, I was gonna say that too. All right, good question because it was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, he's like, Play-Doh, no, wait, Bubbles. Big Bubbles.
Yeah. That's what he needed. Yeah.
Yeah, and he gets the water to like rinse out and spit, but he just swallows
Yeah,
it.
yes, yeah.
Michael Richards, I think it was like 40 when he was Stanley Spadowski, and it is just such an incredible performance.
Yeah, I mean pre-Seinfeld, and I hadn't really watched Fridays much, so I didn't. That was the first time I knew who Michael Richards was, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it's a test run for some of the Kramer mannerisms. Not the full
Yeah,
Kramer, but there's definitely elements there for sure.
the physical comedy, just like that's one thing that like he really brought to the movie.
All right, you are at 50 points as we move into question five, which is worth 50 points. What is the name of the restaurant George and Bob are working at the beginning of the film?
Big Edna's?
It's Big Edna's something something.
Burger Bar? Big Edna's Burger Bar, I'll say.
You have three of the four words correct. It was Big Edna's Burger World.
Burger World. Ah, of course, because it has like a globe as a logo, I think, or like a. Yeah, I can see the logo now.
So you end up with 50 points here at the end of the first round.
All right. Well, I'm glad that I remember the movie because I haven't watched the movie recently, but I'm glad I remembered at least 50 points worth.
We'll move on to round number two, where we are talking about Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Has this also been a longtime favorite of yours?
Yeah, formative movie, probably my top comedy of all time. Yeah, I saw this in the theaters, rented it many times on video, owned the VHS as well, and continue to rewatch it. And it holds up just as well as it did in 1986. And I was recently able to convince the Alamo Drafthouse to let me commission a replica bike from the movie for an odd anniversary. You know, it was like the 34th anniversary of the movie, but I was like, let's just do it. I toured around. We did screenings of the movie, interactive screenings with photo ops with the bike afterwards. There was like a letterpress poster that was a replica of the missing bike poster that he tapes up on a pole. And it was a dream come true. I got a replica of the Pee-wee suit and got to host each screening. And then between Los Angeles and the New York screenings, Paul Rubens died, and I had to host the screenings in New York, but they took on this different meaning. It was almost like this communal, I don't want to say like a wake or something, but it was like the celebration because people were looking for a gathering place. You know, I know people were leaving flowers and gifts where the house was, you know, and Pasadena and repainted the dinosaur and things like that. But in New York, you really didn't have that thing. So it was like this amazing evening of photo ops. There was a tequila company sponsored it, and I put together a 2-hour compilation of just clips from Paul Rubens' career, and a DJ spun music from the soundtrack, and then we all watched the movie and unveiled the bike. So it was like it felt like a worthy celebration and sort of a payoff for my fandom of the movie.
I am with you. I think it's just as perfect a comedy as you get. It's character driven.
Yep.
Every scene serves a purpose, but there's also room for like weird tangential stuff. You get payoffs, you get callbacks, and then at the end, everybody is back. You get a little victory
Yeah.
lap with everyone. So good. And one of the like thrills of my life is before it was canceled, I got to see the tour that he did with the film and got to meet him and do a Q&A with Paul Rubens. So I feel like on our behalf, I got to like represent.
I'm so glad you get to do that. I had tickets to the one in New York, and then the pandemic happened, and they kept postponing the, you know, they're good for when it gets rescheduled, and then of course it didn't get rescheduled. So I'm so glad you got to have that moment.
I was in San Diego for work, and it happened to be when that screening was, but he was also coming to Chicago, but I was like, no, I'll see it in San Diego. And so I got to see that, and then by the time the Chicago show would have been, it was completely canceled. So,
Yeah.
very fortunate.
Just under the wire.
All right, Nick, you ready to dive in to Pee-wee's Big Adventure trivia?
I was born ready. Roll.
All right, for 10 points, question number one. What cereal does Pee-wee eat with his breakfast?
Mr. T cereal.
That is correct. You are at 60 points. Now the 10-point bonus. Now, during that breakfast sequence, Pee-wee weighs himself on a scale. How much does he weigh?
I don't remember. I'll say 120 pounds.
He weighs 98 pounds, a reference to the old 98-pound weakling
Weakling?
Charles Atlas ad.
Yeah. You know, that was my first instinct, but I was like, no, I'm gonna go with something more realistic. Should have stuck with my gut.
It worked so well in the UHF round to go against your instinct.
I didn't learn my lesson.
So you are at 60 points as we move on to question number two for 20 points. Phil Hartman plays a reporter character who asks Francis, when exactly did you become what?
When exactly did you become Pee-wee's best friend?
It's Blood Brothers.
Blood Brothers. Oh. What a great turn of phrase.
It's the only line Phil Hartman has.
Yeah.
He is, I mean, Phil Hartman was the king.
Yeah.
The best delivery. And like, he only has that one line and then it's just him reacting.
Yeah.
God, I love Phil Hartman. And
yeah.
Yeah. So it's, when exactly did you become Blood Brothers?
Of course. I should have had that one. That was so good.
All right. So you are at 60 points as we move on to question number three, a this or that for 30 points. At the end of the film, as Pee-wee is distributing concessions, which of these characters does he visit first? Simone or Mickey?
So Mickey, he gives the foot long.
Wink.
Yeah, wink. Simone, he says, say blah, blah, blah. I'm going to say Simone he sees first.
No, he gives Mickey the foot long and then delivers French fries to Simone and her new beau.
Okay, right. The guy in the beret. Yeah.
Mickey is like the tragic figure of the movie to me because he's the only one that doesn't really work out for him. He's back in jail.
Yeah.
But he is genuinely moved and in awe of Pee-wee's performance.
Yeah, this is fantastic, Pee-wee. And he gets, and he like, and also they let him come watch the movie, even though he's, you know, incarcerated. So it can't be that bad. It's not cruel and unusual punishment.
All right, so you are at 60 points as we move on to question number four, which is worth up to 40 points.
Okay.
So when Pee-wee is on the train with Jack, Jack performs a total of four songs. The first is She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain. The final one is Jimmy Crack Corn. But what are the two songs that he performs in between She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain and Jimmy Crack Corn?
So one is like Shoe Fly Shoe, I think. Shoe Fly Shoe. Skip to My Lou?
Yes, it was Skip to My Lou.
And then She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain was number one, you said.
Mm-hmm. What was the second song that comes right after She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain?
Right, right. Let's see. Come from Alabama with a banjo. I mean, I'll say Oh Susanna. I don't know.
It was Oh Susanna.
Was it?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. My brain somehow hung on to that piece of information. Or it just seems like a good song for a hobo. But wow. Okay. If I get nothing else right, if I completely fail, I'll be impressed that I got those.
So you've added 40 points to your score, wow. So you are at 100 points.
Nice.
As we move on to question number five, which is worth 50 points.
Okay.
The sign for Madame Ruby's advertises her services, saying that she does tarot cards, palms read, and what third service?
Palms read. There's a joke. There's a joke one. It's not, is it notary? I think it's notary or tax prep. I think I'll say tax prep.
I'm going to give it to you because it's income tax.
Income tax. Okay. Somehow I could see that sign in my head. That would be a good neon to get made.
Yeah.
Like to put on your wall or something.
One thing I like about it is that it kind of breaks the convention. It's not two fortune-telling things and then a third joke thing. Income tax is the middle.
Is it? That's even better. And they probably actually got real neon. Like that was before you could do LED neon. So it probably cost like $8,000 for that gag. Inert gases were used for that income tax joke.
All right, Nick. 150 points after two rounds. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back for the final two questions. Hey, it's Rick Hatchke here with the Catered Quiz, just taking a moment as we set up for the doubler and the required risk. Wanted to let you know you can watch Nick every week on the Found Footage Festival's YouTube channel with the show VCR Party Live. It's him, it's Joe, it's George, it's Steve, the whole gang. And the other thing I wanted to tell you about is the Found Footage Festival's Rewindo. You can check that out at rewindo.tv. It's basically the Netflix of all things Found Footage Festival related. It includes two projects of mine, Consumption Optional and Verdict Unknown. It's the only place to stream those, so check it out. All right, we are all set. Let's go back for the final two questions. All right, we are back as Nick has 150 points. Two final questions. The first one is the doubler, Nick. It's your chance to move from 150 to 300. Which topic would you like to use for the doubler?
Let's go with Pee-wee.
Okay. So, to move from 150 to 300. When Pee-wee says that Large Marge sent him, the restaurant has a tribute to Large Marge, including her birth and her death. What month did Large Marge die in? You have a 1 in 12 shot here.
Okay, so I've posted this before on the anniversary of her death, and I feel like it was pretty recently, but I also, I think I posted on her birthday too. Because we're recording this in February, and this is recent in my memory of this, right?
Yes.
Okay. God, I'm so flummoxed by the pressure here. I'll say December just because it seems like I posted this a couple of months ago, but I don't know the answer to this.
You might have posted it recently because it was in January.
January. Ugh. So she died in January?
So she died, I think it's January 11th. And it was 10 years to the day, so presumably all of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, with the exception of the final scene, takes place in January.
Interesting. That's good to know. And what I wonder, do you know when she was born? There's a date for that too.
There is a date, and it's also funny because like I think her like age was 37.
What? Yeah. Okay, died in January. All right. It was more recent than I thought.
You are at 150 points. As we move to the final question, the required risk, how many points would you like to wager on this one for UHF?
I got to do a respectable. I'm going to risk, let's risk half on the final question.
Okay, so you're wagering 75 here.
Yeah.
To put you at 225 or at 75 cents.
Yes.
Okay. Final question. In the end telethon, how many ownership shares are they selling in the telethon?
I posted this recently, too.
I swear I did not see either your Large Marge post or
No,
this.
I know. But this is just how obsessed I am with these movies. So you want the final number that ticks?
Not the amount of money raised, but how many shares are they selling?
Okay.
They're selling shares to get to that amount.
Yes. How many shares did they sell? Okay, I have no idea. I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark.
Think about the end amount. If you can think about the end amount and maybe do some backwards math.
Yeah. Okay, so it'd be like, let's say it was like $10 a share. Okay. We did it. I'll say they sold 1,988 shares.
No, they were trying to raise $75,000. So for $10 a share, they sold 7,500 shares.
Okay. Yep. That all makes sense. I could have done the math, but...
Coincidentally enough, you wagered 75 on that. Whoa,
I should have gotten it. I should have just done that as a random number.
And that is what you end up with today. You end up with 75 cents. You did it!
Yes, I did it. We did it. The station is ours. Yeah, 75K. I should have remembered that was the number. But I think 75 cents will go a long way. to getting me a little breakfast snack.
Nick, as we wrap up here, anything you want to share before we sign off on this edition of the Catered Quiz?
I loved the show. I think I'm motivated to come back and redeem myself. I feel like I could equip myself better next time, but this is a well-catered quiz, I'll say that.
So there you have it. The standings for the Tournament of High Scores remain the same. Mitch DeSantis still in first with 610 points. In second, Elise Bartel with 510 points. And hanging on in third place, Nick's partner from the Found Footage Festival, Joe Pickett, with 501 points. You can check out Nick's work at foundfootagefest.com. Buy Dream Crush wherever games are sold. I've been your host, Rick Kachke. This has been the Catered Quiz. Thank you for listening to the show, and tell your friends about it. Let's keep momentum going.